period. I'm here for Jesus. So.
As we were out here at the Sexy Red concert tonight, we had to come through here because it's just a lot of perversion that's promoted at stuff like this. So it's a perfect opportunity to see people who need the gospel. So that's what we're out here to do, is just show love, the love of God, because the only reason people think they need something like this is because they're lacking the presence of God. So if I was dying right now and I'm like, guys, I'm scared I'm going to go to hell. How do I get to heaven? What would you tell me?
Get on your knees and pray, repent to God, ask him to wash your feet, confess of all your sins that you have made.
So do you guys feel like you live out the lifestyle of repenting?
Sometimes I do, but sometimes I don't.
What do you guys think about Sexy Red? Do you think she glorifies God? Do you think Jesus would want us here as the body of Christ?
Honestly, no. I feel like she make her money and then she go home and she do her thing. I just want to believe that because I love Sexy Red. It's balance.
So you believe there's a balance between sin and holiness?
I'm not going to say that. Sin is sin and holiness is holiness. Amen. So I'm just here right now because my friend wanted me to come with her to support her birthday.
The Bible says that if you are a friend of the world, you're an enemy of God.
Yeah. The world is not of God.
You're my sister in Christ. Mm-hmm. So I got to tell you the truth. Do you think you should be a friend of the world even if it's for, you know, supporting your friend?
No, I'm not saying I'm a friend of the world, but I will direct my friend into the path of holiness and into of Jesus Christ. I will tell her, hey friend, this wasn't really of God. I'm here to spread the word of Jesus along my friends and everybody else. Regardless of what Sexy Red promote, period. I'm here for Jesus. So
you're gonna be spreading the gospel in there?
Yeah, like, what y'all doing? So I'm not perfect. Me being here, it's kind of like me. You feel me? And I'm going to spread the word of Jesus because Jesus is my light and savior.
Go spread the gospel in there.
I am. And
try not to be about dancing to the music, though.
Nah. I'm going to try, but no, for I am here just to support my friend, but also to be of God. So,
all right, God bless you.
Thank you. God bless you,
right.
Too.
Yo, welcome to the show, everyone. We thank everyone for tuning in. We thank you all for like, commenting, subscribing. As always, Jesus is Lord. And if you aren't in the Bible, we highly recommend that you open it up and start reading. Now would be a great time, not only to only get saved, but if you are a follower, is to continue to edify yourself and continue to read your word. So we thank you all for tuning in. We hope everyone is having a great, blessful day. I am Myra B. King, and Dez, how are you feeling today?
Feeling great. It's another blessing. It's just a blessed day to be alive, to be able to come and do this podcast, to praise God, to be able to reveal God and the Bible being revealed in these last days in different ways, whether it's through articles or through the things that's going down. We're going to talk about Bishop T.D. Jakes, D1, and a list of others, but it's all just to glorify God, just to show that some people are working deceitfully behind closed doors, and everybody that say that they're a Christian are not a Christian, and it's by your fruit you will know them. Everybody's healthy. God has blessed me to still have a job, to still be able to provide for my family, and to still have good health. So,
amen.
I'm thankful.
Amen. That's the only thing that we can ask for is I thank the Lord for allowing me to have a healthy body. It's like as you get older, like a lot of those things go out the window of wanting the luxury things. I just want another house or another car, but I'm just glad the Lord has blessed me to be in a healthy body. I woke up in my right mind. I have my family, friends, stability, and I thank you, Lord, for your word. And without further ado, if you all haven't subscribed yet, please hit the subscribe button. If you all want to make a donation, small or large, our Cash App is at the bottom of the screen. And thank you all for your support. It's you all, with the Lord's grace and mercy, that we're able to continue to do these shows. And so Dez is going to...
Give the scripture of the day. Mm-hmm. Matthew 13, verses 44. The kingdom of heaven is like treasure hidden in a field. When a man found it, he hid it again, and then in his joy went and sold all he had and bought that field. That's how we should treat the message of God, you know, given the gospel. You know, the gospel is treasure hidden in the field. You find that Jesus that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whoever shall believe in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. When you believe in that, Jesus said, if we profess with our mouth that Jesus is the Lord and believe in our heart that God risen from the dead, then you shall be saved. For it's with the mouth that you profess, it's with the heart that you believe and are justified, and it's with the mouth that you profess your faith and are saved. You know, so when somebody accepts that gospel, that's treasure hidden in the field. You know, they accept what Jesus did for them. You know, what Jesus, the fact that he died on the cross for my sins. You know, he took it took Jesus that knew no sin to be sin for us. You know, and when you accept that message, then you see that you're a sinner. You know, you need a savior, and that's treasure hidden in the field. So when you find it, you know, you're willing to do whatever for it. You're willing to sell out everything. You know, there's nothing more valuable than that treasure that's in that field, because he sold it all. And that's what we have to do with our life. We have to sell out. We sell it all. You know, we got to, you know, cut off the old man and then accept the new. And that's what I did with my life. And that's what my sister did. And that's what we aim to be able to give off to you guys, so you can do the same. You know, go out there and buy that treasure.
Amen.
How that feel?
Word of God is extremely important. It's golden. It's diamond. And it's extremely important, relevant today, because we have so many young people, so many young people, people in general, that want to be a part of something. They want to have that spirituality, and but they're not turning to Jesus' word. They're not turning to God. They're not turning to our Lord and Savior. I'm not sure if it's because the look that Christianity has been given over the decades, over the years. But for example, we have Gervonta Davis that just came out, changed his name, and just joined the Muslim faith. The Muslim.
Say after me, right? Ashhadu an la ilaha illa Allah. I testify that none has the right to be worshipped except Allah. Wa ashhadu anna Muhammadan Rasulullah. And I testify that Muhammad is the messenger of Allah.
The Muslim Brotherhood. And of course, I was going through the comments. He got some backlash about that. A lot of individuals weren't too happy, but then you had some that were. Devin Haney, I believe Mike Tyson has also joined. It's a couple rappers. And I always wonder what makes, you know, our young brothers and sisters turn that way. You know, also Muhammad Ali was Muslim as well. So I would just encourage everyone to see for yourself. Don't let a church or a pastor steer you away from Jesus. You know, pray to the Lord and ask him to reveal himself to you, because he will, because he wants all souls to be saved. And then after that, pray for wisdom and knowledge, so you can, you know, understand what's in the Bible. You know, get a Bible and start to read and ask the Holy Spirit just to lead and guide you.
I think it's mostly a boxing thing. It seemed like because most of them become Muslim. Have you ever seen like one that was a boxer that just became Christian?
Ryan Garcia claims Jesus, Christianity.
He became a Christian, okay.
Yeah, he claims.
Maybe they feel like being a Muslim has more structure, so it looks more cool. But I don't know. I don't think, he couldn't have done his research on that. The only reason I say that is because, you know, the fact, if he would have did his research on Jesus, he would have seen that, you know, he's real. Mm-hmm. You know, he was saying that over 500 people, you know, testified that they seen Christ after he was risen from the dead. Mm-hmm. You know, and done his research on his nationality and who he is. You know, he's an Israelite. You know, an Israelite that was sold by Muslim slave catchers to the, you know, They were took by African slave catchers, sold to the Muslims, and the Muslims gave you to the Jewish the Khazarians, you know. But if he don't know his history, that's all it is. I think the brother is blind on that fact that Jesus said, "I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me." And the Muslims have a different message. Mm.
He had to say something about, I believe, I'm going to have the clip. He had to repeat after the Muslim man who swore him in. And he had to repeat after the oath and say that you do believe that Muhammad was something. I don't know everything.
It was
but
a messenger
or something. Okay. It was something in the video. But they call him a prophet.
I think he's a prophet in Muslim faith.
Yeah, I'm not too for sure, but I do know they were having them repeat. And also, this just comes, I think this was before or after, because, you know, he just bought his neighborhood block back, which is a really good thing. He bought his block, and a couple hours later, not even the full next day, I believe, that it was burned down.
They burnt the whole block down?
Or majority of it, yeah. I have a video to where they show, like, it was this gentleman there on the block showed the burnt down apartment buildings. Then he showed the next block.
This is for educational purposes only, right? What happened when Javonte Davis bought them row houses to try to help out the community, and they just burnt them all down? This ain't no conspiracy theory. This is a direct attack, and I'm about to talk my shit. This is what Javonte Davis was boxing at. See, he come from these rough environments. He come from these trenches, bro. Everybody talk down about the black man hood. Look what they did. Now let me show you Utah Street. This is beautiful. This is a nice. This is the Huxtables neighborhood, y'all. And mind you, this is only around the corner from where Javonte Davis, you know, had just bought all them row houses at. Why is all this so beautiful, but I was getting burnt down?
Which was, you know, nice and pretty that they, you know, no one touched, but only the portion that he bought, the block, was burnt. Somebody burned it. Yeah. So
it's either a dude that know him, a group of dudes that know him and hating on him, or some racist stuff.
Yeah,
that's all it is.
In other words, saying jealousy, you got to go through us to get this. You know, don't just think you're just gonna get money and buy a block. Well, wait a second, you still got to go through us first. Then again, I don't know the case of scenario, but it is mighty suspicious.
But I know one thing, man. I pray we got to pray for him, and we hope that God opens his eyes so he can know that that's not the way. You know, they believe that Jesus was only a prophet. Mm-hmm. You know, we believe he was Son of God. You know, he was God in the flesh. You know, so we're just gonna pray for brother. You know, everybody, give out your prayers for him and also Devin Haney, because he's going down the wrong path as well.
And you guys are Israelites.
Yahweh was always our God. Jesus was always our God. You know, we always served. We always served him. And now that we're in another foreign land, we're adopting strange gods, different gods that we never had.
From
all our life, you know. So I pray that he do his research on who he is and his nationality, and wake up to that fact.
Amen. And moving down the line, we have Bishop T.D. Jakes, who he's been the spotlight of a controversy lately.
You can't do this 50 years and ain't been in a fight. I haven't been in a storm. I haven't been up under attack. I'm fine. He that is with me is more than all those that are against me. I'm fine. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Let's lift up the name of Jesus. Thank you for loving me. Thank you for praying for me. Thank you for being concerned about me. I can feel you. I can feel you. I'm okay. Come on. Come on. I'm good. I'm good, because I know the truth. When you know the truth, you ain't got to be nervous. You ain't got to be uneasy. You ain't got to be in trouble. Come on.
I ain't come to convince you or nobody, because I know who I am. That ain't what this is about. You can think whatever you want to think. I don't care. I came to do my job. I came to prophesy as I was commanded. I came to hear the master say, well done, thou good and faithful servant.
Did you know that you have been accused of saying that gay people would not be welcome?
Oh, no, that's not true at all.
It's not true.
Well, the perception in our society today is that if you don't say you're for same-sex marriage, or if you say that homosexuality is a sin, that you're homophobic and you're against gay people. That's not true. I'm not called to give my opinion. I'm called as a pastor to give the scriptural position on it. Doesn't mean that I have to agree with you to love you. I don't dislike anybody. I love everybody.
But does it mean you perceive the being gay as a sin? Do you think that being gay is a sin?
I think that sex between two people of the same sex is condemned in the scriptures. And as long as it is condemned in the scriptures, I don't get to say what I think. I get to say what the Bible says.
So do you think, I'm assuming, LGBT community and the black church can coexist?
Absolutely.
Let me push that question, because that's sort of an obvious yes. Church ain't turning nobody away. How should the black church and LGBT community exist?
I think it's going to be diverse from church to church. Every church has a different opinion on the issue, and every gay person is different. And I think that to speak the church, the black church or white church or any kind of church you want to call it, are all the same is totally, totally not true. And all gay people are not the same. The types of relationships that are afforded are based on the types of people in each individual case. Yeah. And LGBTs of types and sorts have to find a household of worship that reflects what your views are and what you believe like anybody else. And the church should have the right to have its own convictions and values. If you don't like those convictions and values, you totally disagree with it, don't try to change my house. Move into your own and establish that sort of thing and find somebody who gets what you get about faith. And trust me, I've talked to enough LGBT. They are not all the same.
Oh, for sure. Anyone all Christians
no,
are the same.
No.
But... How do we... First of all, has your thinking evolved on this?
Evolved and evolving.
A gentleman, I believe, has come forward, and I believe he's lawyered up to say that he was inappropriately... did some things with Bishop Titty Jakes at the age of 16. There's been rumors around that Titty Jakes is a power bottom. He frequents P. Diddy's parties. That he's... you know, been given money by P. Diddy and other organizations. And I say this to say that, yes, of course, we're waiting on more evidence to come out. We can't just automatically assume that he's guilty of everything. We do need more evidence to come out. But this is why you cannot be a friend of the world. You know, the Bible says we are to come out of the world. You know, it's no way that I am saved. I do consider myself a follower of Christ. I'm not going to be... yes, you may work with worldly people. There may be worldly people on your job, of course. But you won't see me taking pictures with Sexy Red, going to her parties, you know, posting up with her and having fun at her parties, especially if I consider myself a Christian. I'm leaving myself open to be whatever comes with that. You know what I mean? So, and then to be a preacher at that, this man is a pastor over a congregation. You know, what are you telling the people you're teaching to? How do you explain that to them? Yeah, and they think that that's okay.
Yeah, and the Bible says evil communication corrupts good manners. You know, we're supposed to come out of the world and be ye separate. You know, do not be unequally yoked around unbelievers. And then he said something, he said that even if it was true, all I would have to do is apply the blood of Jesus. Is repent. Is that what he said?
Yeah. And the blood will take care of all kinds of issues. That doesn't sound like he's not in. If you're innocent, you're not going to claim that. Oh, you're just going to come out and say, like, yo, yeah. Don't bring my name up in any of this mess. Yeah. I ain't done nothing like that. Yeah. Like,
he said, they saying he was a power bottom. And the thing that's crazy. He must be doing some major work at the bottom. I don't know what a power bottom means. But anyway, what he just said was totally false and not biblical. It's because after you have the knowledge of God, after you have read the Bible and him being a preacher for such a long time, he knows the do's and don'ts of what he should do and what he shouldn't do. He know he don't supposed to be in these parties with Diddy. He know he shouldn't be in these homosexual sex rings, partaking in these type of acts. And the fact that he thinks like that, it should show you that he was always aware of what he was doing was wrong, but he chose to do it because back in the back of his mind, all I would have to do is repent, and the blood would take care of it. So you really, let me just go into scriptures. Hebrews 10 verses 26. For if we willfully sin after we have received the knowledge of the truth, there remaineth no more sacrifice for sins. Now that is a blasphemy of the Holy Spirit. So you're not going to be forgiven for willfully sinning, doing it once you have the knowledge. He's been a preacher for so long, he knows that he don't supposed to partake in homosexuality. He's going, like, because this is not no spare the moment thing. They had to set up these type of parties. He knew what type of time Diddy was on. He had to, you know, get in the room with these people. You know what I'm saying? He texting and talking.
And there's not footage of him preaching the gospel at these parties. Even if that was the excuse, but he's not preaching the gospel. You know what I mean?
He's texting and talking. You know, you
singing happy birthday.
You going over this house, you had to unbuckle your pants.
Nah, well,
you know, I'm saying before you get with it, you got. Other words, I'm just trying to say, you're driving over there. You have time to repent. You have time to. You're supposed to fight in the spirit. You're supposed to fight in your thoughts. You don't fight in flesh. Mm-hmm. A lot of people try to be in defeat and then try to. All I got to do is plead. You thinking like that? That's why you cut off. All the sins for all the sacrifices, the burnt sacrifices in the Old Testament was for unintentional sins.
And he's never completely denied homosexuality. The interview with Mark Lamont Hill, I believe it was, he didn't come out and just say this. It was an abomination.
He said his thoughts have changed on that topic, and he said it's still growing. He's still improving. Like, he's basically still learning.
This is a man that's been in the Word over 50 years.
Hebrews 10 verses 29. Of how much worse punishment, because it's blasphemy of the Holy Spirit. Once you willfully sin, you're blaspheming the Holy Spirit, because, you know, God is within you. Do you suppose will he be thought worthy who has trampled the Son of God underfoot, counted the blood of the covenant by which he was sanctified a common thing, the blood, that's why he said, Pete, the blood over, he counted it as a common thing once you willfully sin, and insulted the Spirit of grace. When you insult the Spirit of grace, you blaspheme the Holy Spirit. So that's what he's doing with, that's, if he actually did this, he would have been blaspheming the Holy Spirit. And you're not forgiven for that. That's the one thing you can't be forgiven for. So what he's saying is wrong, and I hate that his congregation is just willing to be behind him on this. Even at Bishop Eddie Long, you know, they were with him on that. You know, these preachers, these mega pastors become idols in the believer's eyesight, you know, that we're willing to forgive, or we're willing to put it. Not acknowledge.
Or they say it's not for us to judge, but we're to judge righteously, though.
Right. We see your bad fruit, but we won't acknowledge the bad fruit. We will view it as a clean fruit. I mean, as a
good
fruit.
It's like we're looking the other way.
Yeah,
I've saw several Christians in comments saying, oh, it's not for us to judge. God will deal with him. But we are to judge righteously, especially if you call yourself a follower of Christ.
Yeah.
How do I know if you're a man or a woman of your word if I'm not judging righteously according to the word?
Yeah, when that cog is out of your eye, you're able to see your brother's speck. You know, Galatians 5 verses 13. Do not use liberty as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love serve one another. Galatians 6 verses 7. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, that he will reap. 2 Corinthians 6 verses 1. We then, as workers together with him, also plead with you not to receive the grace of God in vain. The grace of God in vain of no effect, you know. And I just pray that you guys continue to pray for Bishop T.D. Jakes. I think that's what a true Christian standpoint is, and that's what we all calling you guys to do along with us. You know, we're just going to pray for him, but we're going to also acknowledge that he's not a Christian.
And it's wrong. And I don't even think now, just a couple sermons that I've saw over the years, he doesn't completely keep Jesus in it. It's more of a motivation to me of what he speaks, which is, and I think it happened like once he started getting all the sponsorships, once his church got bigger and bigger. I'm not saying he've always been like that, but I'm saying as of lately, you know, it's been like a lot of motivation and just taking the scripture, expanding on that, but not preaching on sin.
Yeah,
not letting people know what they have to do in order to get into heaven and what they need to stop and refrain from.
Yeah,
that's what I mean in that. But yes,
as he got homosexuals in his church. He said all homosexuals are not the same.
Like, come on. And he's making that bread too. So when you making bread, you know, you can't mess off your sponsors or the people in the church. You know what I mean? And a lot of people are upset by this.
You do God is money.
You have people that have followed Bishop T.D. Jakes and went to the church, and they are absolutely angry. And so I'm sure this has caused an uproar between him and his family, because they're about to lose a lot as well, especially if more stuff come out. So hopefully,
and then didn't his son get caught at a park jacking off in front of an undercover cop and masturbating in front of an undercover cop? So what's going on in that household? That's a demonic household.
And then one of his daughters, something with a baby that's not hers that she won't give back to the parents. I don't know any strong information in regards to that, but yeah. And I do know that Bishop T.D. Jakes gave his church over to his other daughter. I think her name is Sarah Jakes, I believe it is. So,
yeah. Which is against scripture. We know that a woman cannot be a preacher. You know, she cannot be over men, you know. But
people think we're in different times, though, to where it's...
Yeah, but God truths last to all generations. So his word is not certain on dependent on certain times.
Mm.
His word expands beyond all time.
Amen. Amen. But yeah, as Dad said, we should pray for him. And so now hopefully, I don't know, maybe he'll come out and repent and denounce everything and be like, you know, I need to change my life.
At first I was a power bottom, I must admit.
But if he does that, I can respect that. Like, go ahead and clean, get all your mess out and start doing right. I don't, you know.
Man, it's crazy. Like, that is truly demonic that a guy can be in there suit and tie.
When you getting paid,
pounded good. Out by a whole grown man. You a whole grown man. You up there preaching and have a sexual
relationship. Well, we can't fully say that he's getting pounded out, because
I'm just saying,
we don't know.
It has happened. Or pounded out, or doing the pounding, Bishop Long. You know,
and Eddie Long. This is the same thing that happened to Eddie Long. When it first started to come out, people didn't believe it.
Yeah.
People said, oh no, you cannot. And then once it came out that he was messing with the little boys, and then he ended up having AIDS, and then he ended up getting sick and dying, you couldn't explain that.
You know, just speaking on that, you know, still going on that topic, that Paul said, I would rather die than for someone to name my boasting in vain. You know, his belief in God in vain, his walk, him professing that Jesus is Lord, is given the gospel, he would rather die. You know, 1 Corinthians 9 verses 27 says, but I discipline my body, bringing it into subjection, lest when I have preached to others, I myself should become disqualified. You know, the reason I said, you know, a willful sin, you know, God is not going to forgive you for willfully sinning. You know, you're disqualified. You know, if I tell you an NBA game is going on, but LeBron James has been disqualified, you're assuming that LeBron James is not in that game anymore. You know, he's not up to be saved. He has no, God has cut him off. You know, just like in the Old Testament, when you willfully sin, when God say don't do something, you do it, you cut off. You have to get away from the children of Israel. And it's the same thing that's happening today. You know, T.D. Jakes, if he really did partake in this, you know, he's spiritually cut off. You know, He's been given over to that reprobated mind. That's why, you know, you will see him maybe putting the triangle up. You know, maybe he's in behind closed doors. He's in secret societies, you know, because he's been cut off. And it's hard. He's reason he's posing with Diddy now, because at first, you know, if a guy that wants to hide it, that's wise to the fact that I don't supposed to be doing this, being a pastor or being a follower of Christ, I'm not going to be seen with Diddy on pictures. I might be, you know, partaking in behind closed doors. But once you get that reprobated mind, you don't even think about hiding it anymore. You can't hide it. Them demons is taking over. Now I'm posting for pictures. You know, I'm in parties with Diddy. I'm dancing poolside while, you know, trap music. I'm doing whatever, because I've been given over. I don't even notice my era anymore.
Yeah, and just like they're not noticing the era, and then, like you said, feeling comfortable coming out with it. And just like also Yolanda Adams stated in an interview that she's part of a sorority. You know what I mean? It's just, we have to continue to just because they're a pastor or a popular, famous, Christian, well-known artist, we still have to be able to decipher the good fruit from the bad fruit according to the word. We still have to judge righteously. That's what the Bible is there for. Yeah. It's so we can know, like, dang, is this pastor a man of God? Yeah. Is this woman or this man a man of God? That's why we have the word for ourselves, and we have to read it. It's not for us to just to sweep it under the rug and just to continue to indulge in it. No. Yeah, we got to call it out, call it for what it is, and move on.
Yeah. And speaking on, what's her name?
Who?
Yolanda
Adams.
What's her name?
Who was that?
Adams. Who you just say?
Yolanda.
Yolanda.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Since she's in a sorority, we got Leviticus 5:4. If a person swears, speaking thoughtlessly with his lips to do evil or to do good, whatever it is that a man may pronounce by an oath, and he is unaware of it, when he realizes it, then he shall be guilty in only in any of these matters. So she's supposed to be a Christian.
She took an oath, and she even admitted. She said, I can't tell you everything because it's secret. You know what I mean? So,
yeah, God doesn't, Jesus doesn't do anything in secret. He said, I haven't done anything in secret. You know, so she sweared to a false god. She made an oath to a Greek god. You know, once you look up these sororities, they're serving Greek gods. They do rituals. You know, they do hazing. They walk across burning. I don't know all the stuff they do, but they do a lot of things to show their devotion to this Greek god, to this fraternity. You know, some of them will sell their body. You know, it was said that if three men walk go in a room and they, one of the sorority sisters say, hey, go in there and service them, you have to go do it, you know, because you want to, and you have to give your whole body to this Greek god, and you got to be willing to even do sexual acts. And that's why some of them do it, because they're private with it, because they know the things that they have done to get in that sorority.
Amen. We have Memphis school officials and faith leaders addressed after school Satan club. So we've talked about this in the past. There was an after school Satan club out in California. Now they're starting to spread and pop up in different elementary schools. So officials with Memphis Shelby County schools took a public stand on a new after school program operated by the Satanic Temple. Quote unquote, this is what the superintendent said. I want to assure you that I do not endorse, I do not support the beliefs of this organization at the center of the recent headlines, Tony Williams said. She said, I do, however, support the law. As a superintendent, I am duty bound to uphold our board policy, state laws, and the Constitution. Now, the Satanic Temple announced plans to host its after-school Satan Club at Chimney Rock Elementary School in Cordova beginning January 10th. Now, planned activities include science and community service projects, puzzles, games, nature activities, arts, and crafts. Now, they say it's the organization's fifth active club in the nation. Now, the campaign director, June Everett, said it started after she was contacted by the elementary students' parents expressing interest. Now, attendance at the after-school club is not mandatory for the students at Chimney Rock Elementary, and it is not sponsored by the elementary school, but it's sponsored by the Satanic Temple. And I say some parents of students are alarmed and concerned after the flyer announcing the new after-school club began making the rounds on social media. So now we have the after-school Satan club starting to be brought to these elementary schools. You know, they want to get to the children while they're young. And of course, they'll make it sound good. Oh, it's going to be about science and nature and puzzles and games. Yeah, science is one of the things that steers people away from God.
Yeah.
It lets you, the things that goes on in the world, they say, oh, it's because of science. It's because of science. Yeah. It's because of this and that.
Yeah.
So that's another thing to pay attention to.
You're going
to
just try to explain away God by not using those terms. They're going to say, this is how the earth came about.
Mm-hmm.
This is where you came. They're going to probably emphasize evolution, emphasize the beginning, the Big Bang,
mm-hmm.
and everything that can pull you to Christ or pull you to the Bible to have God's understanding, you know, by reading the scriptures on how the earth came about, how you came about. That's what they're going to try to explain away.
So we can't really talk about the Bible in the school, but we can have an after-school Satan program in the school. That just doesn't make any sense there, and it's just a shame at how dark it's really getting. You know, we can ask the students if they feel like they're a boy or a girl, or, you know, now you can be a part of the Satanic Club, the after-school Satan program. You know, how come we just can't make it the regular program, Latchkey, or... I don't know, a math program. Like, why does it have to be the after-school Satan program? So,
Ephesians 6 verses 12, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against rulers of the darkness of this, rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. So these are, you know, people that are spiritually wicked, that they don't want to have the Bible in church, I mean, have the Bible in the school, and, you know, the preaching of God and his do's and don'ts, but we want to have a satanic studies after school is out, you know, an after school program. And some kids love going out of school. Maybe they say we'll give food, you know, we'll give snacks and juice. You know, you come here, we're going to make sure you know, you can eat. So some kids that just go and just think it's all fun and games, but they're explaining the way God in these settings.
And they're and behind it, because this is going to be more pop up as well. And I just believe that a lot of parents are not even aware of what's going on in their child's school.
Yeah.
A lot of parents don't even help the child with the homework, yet alone know what new programs are being introduced.
Yeah.
So, yeah. But, okay. So, well, you have something? Okay. All right, so Mark Zuckerberg has started building a $100 million bunker underground right in Hawaii. I believe it's worth $100 million. They said an in-depth investigation uncovered that the Meta founder's island hideaway appears to include numerous unconventional features, like an underground bunker with a concrete filled metal door, a collection of 11 tree houses, and connected by ropes, bridges, and some extreme security infrastructures. 12 buildings, 30 bedrooms, 30 bathrooms. So it just sounds like he's getting prepared. Let's just put it like that. Long story short,
yeah.
Mark Zuckerberg.
He want to hide away.
Yeah, for what? And there was a CBS, she's a CBS anchor, I believe, or a journalist for CBS. Her name is Catherine Herrick. She predicts that a Black Swan event in 2024 is going to happen to disrupt everything, is what she said. So when I looked up Black Swan event, what is a Black Swan event? They say a Black Swan event, a phrase commonly used in the world of finance, is an extremely negative event or occurrence that is impossibly difficult to predict. In other words, Black Swan events are events that are unexpected and unknowable. A term was popularized by former Wall Street traders and They said that the event is unpredictable. The Black Swan event results in severe and widespread consequences. And after the occurrence of a Black Swan event, people will rationalize the event as having been predictable. So for her to, for example, let me see. It's a real life examples of Black Swan events. So Black Monday. Black Monday was something that happened in 1987 where there was a crash on stocks. And that represents a Black Swan event where in the basically the financial market crashed in 1987. Also, another example of the Black Swan event will be the dot-com crash. They said during the rapid growth of the internet in the 1980s and 1990s, many internet companies were launched. The market was caught up in a frenzy up until 2002, where many of these overvalued companies failed, wiping out nearly $1 trillion. Another Black Swan event will be 9/11, the 2008 global financial crisis, Brexit, the coronavirus pandemic. So those are just some examples of a Black Swan event, and she predicted one to happen in 2024.
Wow.
So that's just something to look up. I mean, not to, yeah, to look up, but just to be on the lookout for. I'm not trying to scare anybody, but just this is just what these finance people are starting to talk about. And yeah, so that's all about that.
Also, the Black Swan event it only really involves like cash, stock markets, and stuff like that.
Basically, anything that disrupts the economic infrastructure, anything. Mm-hmm. So if it's a big cyber attack, that's a Black Swan event, something that's totally unpredictable. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Anything that's unpredictable that affects the worldly infrastructure, the economic structure. Finance in a severe way to where it kind of like stops the world and wipes out a lot of stuff. You know, 9/11, that didn't have anything to do with finances immediately as far as like the buildings crashing or blowing up, but it was a big event.
I wonder what the rapture be a Black Swan event.
Probably so, but they'll probably say we got taken up by aliens or something like that. Now, that probably, you know, people start disappearing. They probably say, oh, you know, the aliens came in and zapped them somewhere, you know.
Yeah.
You never know what they may try to say.
Let me read this scripture. This is a rapture scripture. So a lot of people don't believe in the pre-rapture. This is the scripture you should go to because some people don't believe in the rapture at all. I don't know how they can think that just by reading the Bible, you know, it speaks of the rapture. Yes, the word is not in there, but it's, I think the word for rapture in the Greek, I think it's rapturo, meaning a catching away, a catching, drawing up. 2 Thessalonians 2 verses 7. Through 12, for the mystery of lawlessness is already at work. Only he who now restrains will do so until he is taken away. And that's the Holy Spirit. When he's taken away, it's the people that the Holy Spirit dwells in will be taken away because the Holy Spirit is within us. And then the lawless one will be revealed, whom the Lord will consume with the breath of his mouth and destroy with the brightness of his coming. The coming of the lawless one is according to the working of Satan, with all power, signs, and lying wonders, and with all unrighteousness, deception among those who perish, because they did not receive the love of the truth that they might be saved. And for this reason, God will send them strong delusion, that they should believe the lie, that they all may be condemned who did not believe the truth but had pleasure in unrighteousness. So these are the people that were left behind, are people that had pleasure in unrighteousness, that didn't believe the truth, that didn't believe in God, that didn't follow him, that didn't deny himself, that didn't live a life of denial. Jesus said, if anyone will come after me, let him deny himself to take up his cross and follow me. So these people that will be left behind is for the wrath of God. And God has not called us to wrath. That's what it says in the Bible. He has not called us to wrath because we're saved. We're following him now. You know, we're denying sin now, and the things that God hate, we hate now. You know, so that's why, you know, we won't be left behind to go through none of these things. Now, granted, I'm not saying that we won't see anything. I'm saying once the wrath of God, the full wrath of God is being poured out on earth, we won't be here. We will be with the Lord.
Greatest trick the devil ever pulled was not to convince the world that he doesn't exist, was to convince the world that he's an alien. I believe technology may already exist and it could be the CERN project, I don't know. I believe they figured a way to open that dimension into our dimension. And that is why they are now releasing all this stuff. They precondition us with movies. These guys were playing around with these beings to begin with, but they're not aliens, bro. They're demonic. When people take ayahuasca, what happens sometimes, they see these elves. It's not elves, bro. You just saw demons. The reason some of them are nice is because, like I told you earlier, they have free will. You might have came across the ones that are actually nice. The ones that are aligned with Satan, they're evil. They, you know, so people go into these trips, man. I can't mention her name. She was in a big Hollywood movie. She hits me up. She's like, I'm having nightmares. I'm like, what did you do? She's like, I took ayahuasca and I'm just seeing the most horrific nightmares I have ever seen in my life. I cannot sleep. I'm like Freddy Krueger, but she's like terrified to go to sleep. She performed some prayer. I sent her some water to cleanse herself with, to like baptize basically. The next day she slept perfect. She's like, I don't know what you did, but it worked. She like basically cleansed. This realm is real, Danny. These people have been worshiping, I believe, and working with these beings for a very long time. This is a demonic agenda to destroy humanity, to make us go, because the devil's always going to make us go against what God made us. God made us beautiful. He made us together. He made us in pairs. He made us binary, man and woman, right? And we are now at the end, I believe, of a very corrupt time we're living in. I believe there is no way out for us. I know it's our duty to stand up against injustice. I really think that we're towards the end of time. I don't think humanity, I know this sounds crazy to people, but I think that based on the signs of the end of the world in Christianity and Islam, Islam's very specific, by the way. Some of the signs in Islam, when buildings touch the sky in the Arab world, he said, the day will come where the pagan Arabs, you know, like that, not, but the Arabs will like make buildings that touch the sky. And as soon as they build one, they'll build another and they'll compete with each other. Now Saudi Arabia is building the biggest building on earth.
Mm-hmm.
And they're going to boast about it. He said this 1400 years ago. He said the day will come when dishes communicate. You know, they're going to talk to each other and families will be torn apart. The word he used back then is the word that the Arabs use today for satellite television, bro. Dishes will talk. He said they're going to hang up mats on their walls. Like, you have this TV, it looks like a... He's like, they're going to hang them up. And he used his hands. He made like a rectangle. They're going to put them on the wall and it's going to destroy their souls. Because all you see under this filth, Danny. These are his words, bro. You read these prophecies. They're amazing, man. He said the... men will become women, women will become men. He said that, you just got to go study the signs of the end of the world in Christianity and Islam. It'll blow your mind away.
So, you have Catholics, Protestants, all sorts of religions. These people, most of them, were Luciferians. And then you can say, religion is a fairy tale, God doesn't exist. None of that is real. Well, for these people, it is truth and reality. And they served something immaterial, what they called Lucifer. And I also was in contact with those circles, only I laughed at it because to me they were just clients. So, I went to places called Churches of Satan.
So now we are talking about Satanism.
Yes. So, I visited these churches just as a visitor dropped by. And then they were doing their holy mass with naked woman and liquor and stuff. And it just amused me. I didn't believe in any of this stuff. And but then at some point, I was invited, which is why I'm telling you all this, to participate in sacrifices abroad. That was the breaking point. Children.
You were asked to do that?
Yes.
and I couldn't do that. I had not participated. The purpose of the whole thing, eventually, in that world, is that they have everybody in their pocket. You need to be susceptible to blackmail. And blackmailing me proved to be very hard if I look back on it. They wanted to do that through those children.
Even Satanism for a while.
Yes.
Why the fascination with that?
Because it was there, which sounds very much like, why do you climb Everest? And they said, because it's there, you know. I got involved with a group of my friends, and it was just really in those days, when I'm talking about late 60s, it was an excuse to get some more chicks, yeah, to do some more
they
drugs.
They were fascinated by
and,
it.
Hey, man, you had a coven. Hey, let's go over, we'll party. Instead of saying party, hey, we're having a meeting tonight, you know, ba-dum, ba-dum. That's what it was about. It wasn't really into the circumstances of what today's Satanism means. And there are three steps. When the second step came and I realized that that was a commitment and what the commitment meant, I said, nay, 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 because the fun and games was over with and it was going into another sphere. I have great respect for things that I don't know about.
And that's why. I want to talk about women. Yes. I want to go right down.
About a group known as the Collins Elite. Now, let's just go back in time. There was an event that took place back in the late 40s known as the Babylon Working Ritual. Now, this was a ritual that was carried out by Jack Parsons, JPL. You know, people will even to this day say that JPL stands for Jack Parsons Laboratories, but on paper, it's Jet Propulsion Laboratories. JPL is major. It's a historic, I mean, so much surrounding this, so much history here. Jack Parsons was not professionally trained, yet he was tapping into high technology and building rockets. How do you do that without any type of formal training? There were no rocket programs in America before Jack Parsons. This is paramount to understand. This guy was tapping into, you know, theosophy, Thelema, the religion of Aleister Crowley. He was a disciple of Aleister Crowley, and he was working with L. Ron Hubbard, who was the founder of Scientology. Interestingly, not only did L. Ron Hubbard start Scientology, but he was a science fiction writer. Mm-hmm. The movie Battlefield Earth with John Travolta, well, that was written by L. Ron Hubbard. Babylon Working was successful, according to Jack Parsons. Matter of fact, Parsons said in his Antichrist Manifesto that they were successful and that a child was conceived in that act, and that there was a spirit known as Hilarion. The Whore of Babylon was what they were trying to bring about. They believed what we believe, and that America was the final Babylon. Like, this was the revived Babylon. They believed it, and they were occultists. You know, we're Christians, and we believe it. There's evidence to back this up. They began to try to make contact with those entities, maybe for some help, maybe because they're trying to figure out how to close this thing, maybe they're trying to figure out how to undo what Jack Parsons did. So they go through satanic rituals to communicate, because that's the only method of communication that they know that works to contact these entities. Document 6751, it's a document from the 40s. It was written by a prominent member of academia, and it was submitted to the FBI. In this document, they make a case that entities are not space aliens, but that they're interdimensional or extra-dimensional entities that are crossing over from a plane known as the ethereal plane. Now, we know, as researchers of the New Age movement, we know that that is where the Ascended Masters are supposedly said to be on a high level. This ethereal plane is very popular, you know, when you talk to people who astral project, people who channel, mm-hmm. people who remote view, people who want to tap in or go on a trip, an ayahuasca trip, a DMT trip.
Ayahuasca, different trips, DMT, that does allow you to cross over, or allows a person to cross over into those dimensions. Outside of that, the satanic ritual has proven to be the most effective. And wow. And from the research that we've done, the people that we've interviewed, that seems to be the constant. That's like it's a guarantee you're going to make contact if you do this.
Through, you know, we've got over 300 declassified documents in our collection right now, all pertaining to aliens, UFOs, extrasensory perception, psychic activity that they're training people to operate in. The federal government has been training people in the occult since the 40s, training them in how to operate in occult magic and occult sciences. Everything our Bible tells us is absolutely forbidden. Our federal government has been a part of this since the 40s. And I want to add, back in the 40s, they still promoted the idea of a Christian nation of America. Yet behind the scenes, it just goes to show that that the people in charge of our government have been pacifying the society.
And they took me off in a room and they prayed for me for about 5 hours. And they demanded that the spirits that I had allowed in myself through asking them to come in witchcraft to leave. When I walked out of that room, I no longer had any psychic power whatsoever. So I don't care. Mm.
Yeah, you do have, that's a constant debate that Christians, some believe in the rapture, some don't. Some believe in the pre-rapture, some don't. But yeah, it is important just to go according to scripture.
Yeah. And that's the same saying with the I think it's the 10 virgins. You know, some kept had oil and some didn't.
Mm-hmm.
When the bridegroom came, the ones that had the oil was able to come out.
Yeah.
The ones that didn't had to stay in darkness.
Yeah, and was asking for their oil.
Yeah.
They're like, it's like they lamp.
How we going, baby? We getting married.
Right.
You know?
So I thought this was an interesting article because it is the start of what happened to a lot of problems in the world. You know, a CIA agent admits that hip-hop was a psyop designed to corrupt the youth and sow division in America. So while everybody's just like, oh, it's just art, just talent, these people. You got to think about it. These people are not having millions of dollars invested in them just because they have good art. You have to be... putting out a certain image, speaking on what they want you to speak on, or it's just like a credit loan, a credit card. They're not going to give you these loans and putting you on billboards and different radio shows and podcasts just because they feel like you're a good artist. No, it's because you are a part of the plan that they're trying to, the agenda that they want to push, and it's working. So John Holmstone, a retired CIA agent, has admitted on national Russian television that hip-hop was a psyop invented by the CIA in the 1980s, and the agency has directed and financed household name artists like N.W.A., Dr. Dre, Jay-Z, and Kanye West. Now, it says the government at the time spent big money, serious money, on this covert operation designed to corrupt the American youth to nihilist, anti-establishment, and anti-American ideologies, and sow division in America. He explained a half-hour broadcast. He said famous songs of the iconic hip-hop outfit N.W.A. were even scripted by a team of war propagandists and psychologists of the CIA. Now, the nihilist and anti-establishment lyrics were intended to unleash a wave of cynicism towards authorities, glamorize the use of narcotics, and entice the youth with revolutionary counter-establishment ideas. Now, the retired CIA agent claims that social engineering psyop was extremely successful, particularly with left-learning young Americans who, according to Holmstone, have been completely brainwashed with anti-American messaging. He says, quote-unquote, "We understood at the time that music was a powerful means of propaganda to reach the youth," explained Holmstone. He says, "Our mission was to use teenagers to our advantage and turn Generation X into a decadent, pro-drug, and anti-establishment culture that would create uprisings and further division with society. We even infiltrated mainstream radio to promote their music and reach millions of people every day," he admitted visibly. Now, for many of us in the CIA, infiltrating the 1980s hip-hop scene was one of the CIA's most successful experiments of propaganda to this date, he acknowledged. He says, "You could say that Frankenstein's monster got up off the table and started goose-stepping." The retired CIA agent, who was granted a Russian residence permit in 2011, also claimed that Lior Cohen, commonly known as the tall Israeli who runs hip-hop, is a CIA asset, as are many of the household name artists he signed and promoted. He says, "When it comes to engineering culture, no one touches Lior Cohen," Holmstead admitted. He says hip-hop artists signed and promoted by Cohen include Slick Rick, DJ Jazzy Jeff, The Fresh Prince, later known as Will Smith, Eric B., Rakim, De La Soul, Tribe Called Quest, Jay-Z, Kanye West, Migos, Young Thug. Some of these artists were tools of the CIA. Others are fully signed up assets, according to Homestone, who cited Jay-Z, who openly promotes his satanic beliefs, and the first black billionaire, and Dr. Dre as a CIA asset, who are untouchable and who have been handsomely rewarded by the elite. And I'll just stop there. But,
same people who own the labels own the prisons.
Literally the same people?
Literally the same people who own the labels own private prisons. The records that come out are really geared to push people towards that prison industry.
But they didn't make you write those lyrics.
It's not about making somebody write the lyrics. It's about being there as guardrails to make sure certain songs make it through and certain songs don't. Some records are made by committee, meaning record company guys sit around and tell the artists, this is hot, say that, do this. We're gonna have this guy write the lyrics. We're gonna have that. You have, you know, the record company pushing the narrative. You know, some social engineering going on here to make sure those.
I stopped listening to drill music and any song that has to do with killing of our people. Enough is enough. How can we party to somebody rapping about killing you and somebody that looks like you? Killer N-word this, killer nigga this, killer that, killer nigga that, killer nigga. Like, bro, the consciousness within our community needs to evolve. It was getting to me so bad because it went to the point where every time I saw a black person that looks like me that's around my age group, I automatically think, like, okay, I have to clutch up. Or I have to, like, figure out, you know what I'm saying? I'm always kind of looking over my shoulder. Why, bro? Why? And to be honest, I don't feel the same when I see other races. I don't. I real life don't. So consciously, you know what you're doing, but subconsciously, you're brainwashing yourself to look at yourself as a target. The same way that I look at that black person that looks like me is the same way that I look at myself. I might not admit it, but that's the same way that I look at myself. How much longer are we going to promote the killing of ourselves? How much longer are we going to keep saying it's artistic expression? Anytime I hear any song that talks about killing a nigga, this killing, I stop it right away. We are the only group of people that rap about killing each other. We need to start holding ourselves accountable because I guarantee you, there's nobody else that's gonna have our best interests at heart like we are gonna have our best interests at heart. If you cannot rap about anything else but killing somebody that looks like me, killing somebody that looks like you, you are not the type of person that I wanna support, nor are you the type of person that I wanna listen to. Because there's nothing but pure garbage that's coming out of your mouth.
It wasn't necessarily for, I wouldn't just say American youth, it was for black youth.
Yes.
The African American, the Israelites of this country, they wanted to sabotage us, to send us to prison. You know, that's why they start building prisons off of third grade reading scores. And then you couple that with listening to this trap music, gangsterism music, this hate America music, and it's the sexualized sexual music, popping pills, drug infected music. And then they introduce crack to our communities.
Yes.
You know what I'm saying? So they have put a, like, a, you get a pot, they put these different recipes to looking for a goal, to achieve their goals. And their goals is to allow our neighborhoods, though through redlining and different things like that, allow our neighborhoods to be ghettos, allow us to not really have any opportunity unless we come to them and they able to give us deals, have the high school to prison pipeline going, keeping us in through in poor education. We don't have any kind of trades coming out of high school. Back in the day, they used to have trades coming out of high school. So you used to have plumbers, welders, carpenters, ex-vac people, and
skill
kind of jobs or whatever. You have the certificate or the ability, but they took all of those things out so we can get these guys on the street slow, because we gave them this poor education. So they're on the street listening to this music. This music is influencing them to smoke the weed. Music is influencing them to rob, steal, and kill, do all the things of the devil, and we can throw them in prisons.
And it's been on radio stations and televisions all around just to continue to push it in your face.
That's why the wickedness is in high places. The CIA, the government is supposed to be for you. The government is supposed to try to help you achieve, you know, prosperity in this land. You're supposed to have peace. We don't want to redline you because we don't want no abandoned buildings. It'll look bad for us. No, we don't view you as our people. That's why the Bible says, in the land of your enemies, you shall remember remember me. So these people are not on our side. They are not with us. The black people you see in the government are people that are sworn, that sworn an oath to do what the government wants them to do. And they have lost and been stripped of who they are. And for as the what they vote for and for us, the things that they do is not going to be for you, because your enemies does not want them to do anything for you. That's why when these guys get up, these Jay-Z's and these Diddy's and these Dre's with all this type of wealth, they don't pour the rep back into the black community. They don't give back. They take away and they'll flex on you. The rappers are good at flexing, but they don't never give back. Because it's all part of the plan. And the fact that the guy was a Israeli, what's his name, Lior Conan, he's really a Khazarian. Uh-huh. They know their history. They know that they're not Israelites. They know who we are. That's why they always try to follow us to market us. You know, that's why if we don't have wealth, we're not able to capitalize, or we're not able to get back what our gift can give us. You know what I'm saying? Like the Michael Jackson, if he was able to sign his own self and all the CDs that he sold, he was able to get all his own money off of that.
And that's what he tried to do.
These rappers wouldn't be making hits and then be broke. Although I'm not in agreement with their music, I'm just trying to show you that they're not making the money that their gift is supposed to get them, because God places gifts in us because we don't have any diamond mines, we don't have any oil places where we get some oil and be able
he knows
to
we're not over well. Yes, owned so, by the Jews,
so we have to get it through our hands and through our talent. So and I got something, the color of justice, racial ethnic disparity in state prisons. Black Americans are incarcerated in state prisons at nearly five times the rate of white. White Americans. Nationally, one in 81 black adults in the U.S. is serving time in state prison. Wisconsin leads the nation in black imprisonment rates. One of every 36 black Wisconsinians is in prison. In 12 states, more than half the prison population is black. Alabama, Delaware, Georgia, Illinois, Louisiana, Maryland, Michigan, Mississippi, New Jersey, North Carolina, South Carolina, and Virginia. Seven states maintain a black/white disparity larger than 9-1. California, Connecticut, Iowa, Maine, Minnesota, New Jersey, and Wisconsin. This is all part of the plan. Also, in 1970s, when they introduced welfare, and when they basically they took all the jobs out of the black community, so the man was powerless. He didn't have the ability to get a job. A lot of them didn't hire him.
And keep talking. Well, just to insert, what do you mean by that? In most states, in most cities, you will see ran down factories where they packed up and left. There's some in East St. Louis. There's some in Gary, Indiana. There's some in Chicago. So everywhere you see there, you can once see that there was an industrialized city, a strong manufacturing once there, and they all left.
They closed it because they didn't want to have
steel companies and all that. Yeah,
Wall Street. They didn't want to have a prosperous black city. That's why they made sure that all the companies took their money out of, took their companies out of there, so the blacks can be there, and then it can become rotten. The tax money that they used to get before the blacks came, they was getting tax money from different cities before the blacks came. Once the blacks came, they stopped the different cities for giving tax money there. So that's why when you go to these black neighborhoods, it looks broke down and abandoned. And people say, dang, this is a part of America. It is, but it isn't. You know, they view us as their enemies. They don't view us as a part of America. Because if that was the case, instead of sending these billions of dollars, that billions on top of billions on top of billions on top of billions to Ukraine, billions on top of billions on top of billions to Israel, and these billions all over the world, they will invest. They will send these billions on top of billions to these communities that, if they would have did that, these black communities would have been built up.
Yeah, but they you can't have a thriving black community.
No,
they,
because
they don't
want this is the land of our enemies. You know, this is not our home. You know, we God is going to save us from this. You know, God is going to get us out of here. That's why we got to trust in God with all our heart and lean not on our own understanding, but acknowledge Him in all our ways, and He will direct our path. You know, we have to go to God for fair. You know, back in the days, you've seen that they were fighting for equality. They were fighting just to be called equal. They didn't want to be called better than you, or they just don't want to be less than. But you know, when a person has to fight for equality, that shows you that, you know, you're not going to get
fight for equality, fight for education, fight for economic
just
rights.
Just to be treated for education,
you
know, devoting.
You shouldn't have to fight for that.
You shouldn't have to. But you know, when you're in the land of your enemies, you got to fight for that.
But so, you need to oppress people like the black Americans. We are the consumers. We are the buyers. Everything is marketed and promoted towards us. These hair shops, beauty shops, pop up food shops that's in the
hood.
That's
where our money doesn't
last. Because they know we don't own anything, so you have to keep people oppressed. Yeah. And then once you keep them oppressed, now you promote to them.
And the reason why we're mainly being tossed to and fro, able to be manipulated through the music, manipulated through the television, is because they took our culture. You know, if you put a what is those guys that the Amish? If you put an Amish guy, you show him, you know, let him watch TV, you know, about and listen to music, that it won't manipulate him in the same way it would us, because we're a cultureless people. So we adopt what we see. You know, the reason why you see rappers, people that live in the hood acting like rappers with money bricks to their head when they barely have two nickels that they can rub together, because of what they see. The reason you see, we remember the big shoe trend. We had brothers trying to wear the big red shoes. You know, when it was the tall tees, we adopted tall tees. And some of these things are CIA implanted. You know, some of
all through hip hop and media.
Yeah, some of the clothes wear, some of the new style. You know, these designers of these clothes are not black people. You know, these jeans that you think might be fitting well real tight is because a gay man probably designed it to want to see more booty when they walking down the street. more man booty. And see, you know, be able to see the print and stuff like that. You don't know why this man designed these jeans, you know. But we adopt these styles is because we don't have a culture, you know. I don't think you could have manipulated the children of Israel back in the day like that. I think, you know, they know who they are. You know, they would be able to look at that stuff. Okay, that's how they dress.
And the Amish was, you know, is a great example, because they have a strong belief system. Yeah. They even dress different.
They know who they are.
Yeah, they dress different. You go to their community, looks totally.
Harvard released a study saying that they can't find diabetes or autism or cancer, for that matter, in the Amish communities. It just doesn't exist. And what is their diet like?
Yeah.
It's pretty much the same as my grandpa and his family was raised on in Utah. And it's not like they weren't eating avocados. They weren't growing spinach, you know what I mean? They were eating fruit from trees, and they were ranching, and they were moving, like my grandpa was just telling.
The Amish are a perfect example of a large group of people who are largely unvaccinated. We can't find an autistic kid who was unvaccinated. It's very, very rare in the Amish community, very, very rare. You won't find kids with ADD, with autoimmune disease, with panda pans, with epilepsy. You just don't find any of these chronic diseases in the Amish. And you know, the U.S. government has been studying the Amish for decades, but there's never been a report out to the public. The reason, of course, is it would show that, oh, if you don't follow our guidelines, you're going to end up healthier. That's why there's no report after decades of studying the Amish. There's no report, because the report would be devastating to the narrative. It would show
totally different from this world. Even though they're in the world, it looks totally different. The men dress different. The women dress different. The kids dress different.
The welfare, you know, they replace, like, I'm just trying to show that this, These are the recipes that they put into one pot to stir up. This is the devil doing this. Don't get it twisted. We're not talking about men. We're talking about principalities. We're talking about spiritual wickedness in high places. This is the devil focused on the children of Israel. You know, this is the devil trying to get us to get as many people as he can, but he really focused on us because he knows that we are able to influence the world. We are the salt of the earth, you know, what use is the salt? Without flavor, you know, it's good for nothing but to be cast out.
And he's infiltrating it everywhere. He's gotten to most of our churches, most of our pastors, even followers of Christ. Yeah. Christians are lukewarm and don't even know it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So it's just extremely. It's a really difficult time.
Yeah.
Alabama is building the most expensive prison in U.S. history at a cost of $1 billion.
And who you think going to be in there? I just named Alabama as the half the prison population is black. Go ahead, Nisha.
They said, and I'm just keep it short. They say the U.S. is building the most expensive prison in U.S. history. The Finance Authority has approved a final price of $1.08 billion for a 4,000-bed facility. Initially, they were plans for two such prisons with a budget of $1.25 billion, but now it seems only one will be built. Now, advocates argue that the new prison's aims to tackle overcrowding and improve living conditions. However, critics argue that the money could have been better spent on mental health resources and counseling, which would have reduced the prison population.
We ain't gonna do that.
they don't want to. They're not going to try to do anything to reduce the population by trying to give you counseling, mental health, trying to teach you job skills. They won't do that. But instead, they're going to make more room for you.
Yeah, we want to break the record of how many prisoners we can have in here.
And Alabama is interesting. Slavery. That's interesting. And then they see the turn that the world is going into, the music, and how younger and younger these children are having babies. They're committing this crime, and they're like, man, let's go ahead and build extra prison. We're going to need more room pretty soon. Yeah, they're saying that the dropout rates out of high school, out of middle school, I have a clip, and I'm going to try to insert in this show, where it was a middle school teacher. She said, like, her 6th and 7th graders are saying, like, hey, can you put it on Pound Town? And she started breaking down crying because she was saying how young these kids are and how just like mentally they're gone. She's saying most of her students cannot even read or critical think or try to answer a simple reading problem. So it's getting very wicked out here. And parents, we can't hold it all to the teachers. It starts at home.
They say, talk about third grade reading scores. That's why we're building this prison worth $1 billion, because we know it's a lot of poor educated brothers out there that's coming up. They want to hear Pound Town, my coochie pink, my booty hole
just
brown.
And these are 6th and 7th grades. She's not talking about a group of high schoolers.
Hold on.
We need to be reinforcing the same stuff that teachers teach in class at home. I need y'all to get how serious the situation is. Today I have a test. I have students who don't want to show up for the test because they cannot read on grade level and they know the test is going to be hard. Because tests are hard and they can't read on grade level, they're going to engage in problem behaviors. Do you know there's a strong correlation between the level of literacy a person has and behavior problems that they have? Do you know that when I first got into my education class, the first thing they said is they said that prisons will determine how many beds they need based on third grade reading scores. Because there's a strong correlation between reading scores, math scores, and behavior problems. I want you to imagine you a kid and your teacher asks you to read, and you're nervous because you know you can't read and people gonna make fun of you. So you do one of two things. Either you make yourself a joke and you start disrupting the class in the hopes that you either get kicked out or you can avoid that situation altogether, or you do something aggressive and get kicked out of class.
And they are asking me, can we hear about?
I don't like to chime in on nothing because of selective outrage, but I'm gonna say something. So, mind you, I'm a middle school teacher. I'm also 22 years old. And I will tell you, by far, we are doomed. Like, when I tell you this, do not heed, like, do not sit here and think that I'm lying. Like, heed the warning. Like, we are doomed. These kids do not care. Like, I have kids, all they want to do all day long is get high. Like, drugs. Like, there is no motivation for these kids to come to school unless they know that they can buy a cartridge or get a vape. That's all they're doing. Half the time, these kids come to school just to skip, just to do drugs. I promise you. Now, most of y'all probably be like, well, in the 70s, yeah, they smoke cigarettes, da 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 da. I would so much rather these kids come and smoke cigarettes than come in here and be high off a kite and don't know nothing. All right, so here's another thing that you don't know. I don't know about your states or whatever the case may be, but here down in Florida, kids have failed reading so much that reading is no longer really a core class. They have reading in middle school as an elective. They have no motivation. They have no will to want to learn. I have students straight up tell me to my face, I'm only here because my parent doesn't have to go to jail. Like, these kids have no motivation. They lack social skills and they lack motivation. All day long, they want to be on their phones. I've had kids fight my principal, and I don't work at a hood school. I don't work at a bad school. I work at a really great school. I had kids fight my principal because of the fact that they didn't want to give up their phone.
I am a first year high school English teacher. This is definitely going to be my first and last year teaching. I was made very quickly aware of the fact that this is not the profession for me. It is absolutely astonishing and scary how your kids are 14, 15 years old and still do not have the proper reading skills. And I'm not talking about the ESC kids, the 504s, the IEP kids. I'm talking about your everyday regular Joe Schmo from Kokomo kid who does not know how to read and write at the level that they should. And the problem is that they don't care to learn how to do those things correctly. I can't teach the class because your kid wants to be a disruption, because your kid wants to be on their phone, because your kid does not give a flying about their education. The problem really, I mean, yes, the problem is your kid. The problem is also you as a parent, but the problem is also the administration.
But there are a lot of laws just to be on the lookout for. There has been many cyber attacks. One cyber attack has been on the one of the number one mortgage companies. I believe it's called Mr. Cooper. A lot of owners, their information has been hacked into. It has been released. Spectrum was hacked. T-Mobile was hacked, I believe. Just a lot of cyber things is happening. Also, they are working on 6G. Out in China, China had their deadliest earthquake. 127 people were killed, and that's just the people that were counted at the time, and over 700 others were injured. You had a volcano erupting out in Iceland, and California and Illinois have new laws. California, I think they're making it in majority of the places where anybody can get a driver's license. You don't have to show as much information as you once did. And for immigrants to now get a loan, they're not to be discriminated against just because they're an immigrant and they don't have their papers, so they're able to get loans as well. That's just a quick update. Several food has been recalled. Coca-Cola has recalled over 2,000 cases of Diet Coke, Sprite, and Fanta Orange due to a foreign material. Now, they won't specify what this foreign material is, but they have recalled those products.
Better start reaching out to these farmers.
Yeah, before laws get passed, where they say, "Oh, you can't have more than such and such cattle on your land." You know what I mean? You just never know what they will try to say.
Yeah, we gotta reach out to some cattle. I mean, some farmers.
Yeah,
to get us a whole cow up in this mud.
And they say if you freeze a whole cow, it can last up to over a year and a half. I believe that they said so. It definitely will be good to have, for sure.
We got more?
No, that's, I can stop right here. That is pretty much all I have.
Right, let me...
But I will say this before we end off. Guys, continue to, if you are followers of Christ, just continue to stay in your word. Don't be easily misled by the things that you see in the world. Don't be deceived. Continue to pray. Continue to fast and ask the Holy Spirit for guidance. You know, we have more churches are being taken over by Satan. If you are in a church, just continue to recognize the good fruit from the bad fruit. You know, come out of the world. You know, we can't blend in with the world. That's how people look at us, like hypocrites. You know, and they want to join other religions. You know what I mean? But we do. We are here to say that, yes, we are followers of Christ. We are Christians. And we take the word seriously.
John 15 verses 18 to 20. If the world hates you, ye know that it hated me before it hated you. If ye were of the world would love his own. But because ye are not of the world, but I have chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hates you. Remember the word that I say unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord. If they have persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they have kept my sayings, they will keep also, they will keep yours also. So just know, man, we're not supposed to be loved by the world. You know, if the world loves you, you are better than your master. You know, you are better than Jesus because the world loves you, and we know that not to be true. So the world hates Jesus, so the world going to hate us, and we cannot be afraid of that. We cannot shy from that. We got to stand on the word of God. We got to stand on His Bible and lean not on our own understanding. I don't have an opinion. What is God? If it's a topic that God has given scripture on, we have to lean on that. We don't give our own opinion, whether it's homosexuality, whether it's fornication, whether it's adultery, lying, cheating, murdering, whatever. We turn to God for all the information. And we're led by it, you know, because that's what a Christian is. So Acts chapter 2, verses 17. And it shall come to pass in the last days, says God, that I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your young men shall see visions. Your old men shall dream dreams. God bless.
Amen. May peace, grace, and mercy be upon you and your family.
I asked the Lord if he may give me a dream of the rapture. And I said, Lord, if you bless me with a dream, I will share it with your people. So this is how the dream went. I was at work a random day, and suddenly I felt the urge in my spirit that the Lord was coming to was about to return extremely soon. Seconds before the rapture, I remember asking the Lord to take me when he returned, and I asked for forgiveness. Moments go by, and I heard the trumpets. These are trumpets that I heard in that dream. And while these trumpets were playing, I'm at work telling my manager, right? While these trumpets are playing, I'm at work telling my manager that Jesus is here, Jesus is here. And these trumpets are blowing. It's so loud that him being a couple feet away from me, it's like I have to scream over the trumpets for him to hear me. It's kind of like this, like, yo, like the Lord is here, like, yo, look. But him being a couple feet away from me, it's like it was still hard for him to hear me. I woke up and I wrote it down so I don't forget anything, right? Hold on, okay, so like after the trumpets ended, right, I ran out the store and I looked up. And the amount of people I saw saved, it was sad. I'm be honest with you, it was sad. That's why I'm telling y'all, like, we have to repent. Like, because the amount of people I saw ready and that was saved was, it was, I could count, like, it was so few. Like, in that area, I could count them on my hands. Like, I looked up, and I saw, like, few people saved, like, almost close to no people saved. So that's why I was like, this is, like, real. Like, people have to get ready and wake up. Like, real talks type stuff. Alright, so, like, after the rapture, right, I left and I went to the store. It was, like, up the street in this dream, where I met a friend. We was both, like, sad, head down, all in, like, grief and sorrow and stuff like that, because we did get left behind. And then I told him about how many people who I saw go, and it was, like, extremely few. And that's what brought me up to the scripture. When the Lord said, enter through the narrow gate. I'm telling you, like, his words are, it's true. Only a few will make it. And I saw a few make it. Like, it was sad. Like, it was scary type stuff. My message to the people after having that dream is to repent. Because the way to life is extremely narrow. It's through Lord Jesus. It is extremely narrow. I can't express that enough, because the amount of people I saw saved in the rapture, I can't express that enough. That you really have to be 1,000% about the Lord. You really have to be 100. You have to keep it a buck and keep it real and stay on track with the Lord. Like, you have to walk this walk and be real. I'm telling you, bro. Like, it's like no joke.